From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life for the Archdiocese.
I'm Ellen Taylor, Executive Director of Archangel Radio. Good to be with you again, Pat.
Okay, and I won't say anything about you making faces at me.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah.
Hello, Archbishop.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Ellen, and with you, Pat, and all those who are joining us in the broadcast.
Archbishop, we're going to be talking about the biannual, the every other year conference called One Faith, One Family. Would you lead us in prayer as we get started?
I'm looking forward to the conversation because it really is a wonderful event and an event that a lot of people don't know about. So this is an opportunity to share something very good. So stay tuned. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, dear God, you call us to be your family, to have both a personal relationship with you and also to be active members of your family, the church, and we praise you for your goodness to us. Help us to show our faith in you by sharing it with others as we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So what was that you were saying, Pat? One
faith, one family.
Okay.
Affectionately known as of.
Of.
In the inside circles.
In the inside circles.
Okay, good. I didn't even know that one.
Pat,
so.
Would you come on. This is something that we do every other year here in the Archdiocese Mobile. It has been well accepted. The people who have attended One Faith, One Family conferences in the past have come away saying, this is wonderful. I've heard so many comments. So, but a lot of people aren't familiar with it. So what is it?
So in its simplest form, it's an event that the Archdiocese puts on that aims at families coming as a family to an event. It's not, you know, we so often subdivide families unintentionally. We have youth ministry, we have young adult ministry, we have catechesis, we have all these sort of subgroups. One Faith, One Family is meant to be a time where parents come with their kids and can experience something.
Well, what happens with someone who is single or
they're
widowed
still,
or, I mean, can they come without a family?
Absolutely. But they're still, everybody has family. And as
well,
you,
like, can
as
I
you,
come by myself?
You can. And as you draw the circles out, you know, the families make up the parish. And the parish families make up the diocesan family. The diocesan family is part of the family of the universal church. So it's all, it's a double play in the word family.
So when you say it's one faith, one family, you're not just saying, but this is for groups of families alone. Single people can come. People can come by themselves.
Absolutely.
Because they're part of a larger family, the family of God.
Yes.
Okay.
But this event also makes intentional to be possible for parents to come with their kids. So when we plan, the widow or the single person, they don't need something
child
kind of
care
special,
something
like child care, mm-hmm. and what are we going to do with the teenagers? So, mm-hmm. so all of those kinds of things to accommodate people, no matter where they are in their life, we try to make accommodations for in the planning so that even families with little kids can come and experience the concerts, the talks, the event together so that they as a group can grow together. So that's, and normally that takes place, Archbishop, at, you know, the Daphne Civic Center or the Mobile Convention Center, someplace like that where we invite people from the parishes to come and be a part of that. We try to bring in dynamic speakers, good music, Friday night through Saturday kind of event. And that's how it's typically been in the past.
And this year it's going to be a little different because of the pandemic. But we'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But that's, as simply put as possible, it's an event for people to come together as individuals or as families because we're part of the family of God.
Right.
But families will find this an easy thing to come to because it is geared for the whole family, no matter what age. Whether children on up to chronologically gifted such as I am.
Yes.
Okay, we're just going to, let's just go with that. Is there a theme?
There is. So this year, the Archbishop of Mobile, good holy man that he is, mm-hmm. Alan, we'll speak about him as if he's not here.
Okay.
had on his heart kind of this notion that belief in the Eucharist is, you know, statistics will show, is not where we'd want it to be. There are a number of people who either don't know the teaching of the church with regard to the real presence of Jesus, the person of Jesus that is in the Eucharist. Either they don't know that teaching, or they know of the teaching, but they reject it.
But they don't live it out. They don't act like they know it in their life.
Exactly. And yeah. So in the midst mm-hmm. of this sort of data coming out, and it's not yeah. new data, but it just continues to grow, the pandemic hit. And it was not really, people were afraid to come to church, rightfully so. There was a deadly virus going around. So there was even a time when public masses weren't offered. There were masses, and then only 10 people could attend. And so we all know the story, the saga of the last mm-hmm. couple of years. And there's a sense of wanting to spend a year reintroducing people to the person of Jesus in the Eucharist. How do we know that it's real? Why does it matter? How do we live as Eucharistic Catholics? Why should I come back to church? Why do I come to Mass and receive Christ in the Eucharist? And why should I be Roman Catholic, R-O-M-A-N, and not a roaming Catholic, and just go church to church and just, you know, kind of be a sacramental consumer? What mm-hmm. what's the life of the parish? How does the Eucharist relate to the parish family? And so the Archbishop announced the year of the Eucharist and the parish. And so obviously it seems like everything we do, then we want to focus on that for the rest of the liturgical year. I guess we're about halfway through.
We're, mm-hmm. you know, we're almost at 5 months of our 12-month year of the Eucharist and the parish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, time flies by. And this is an opportunity, one further opportunity to reflect upon our belief in the Eucharist, that it is real. And I shouldn't say that it is real. You know, that's even the way we talk about things is important, because when we receive communion, we're not receiving something, we are receiving someone. We are receiving Jesus Christ himself, his body, his blood, his real presence. We tend to talk about communion as it, as a something, but truly, it is receiving someone. We join ourselves physically with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And therefore, having received the real presence, we're called mm-hmm. to be the real presence in our daily lives, to be the presence of Jesus Christ in our families, in our circles of friends, in our places of work, when we're dealing with strangers, whatever. And to realize that because we're receiving Jesus, we're called to be joined with him and through him with our brothers and sisters in our parish, particularly. Beginning in the parish, first of all, is the family of faith, and then radiating out from there. So this year of the Eucharist and the parish, there is so much that can be said about both our belief in the Eucharist and our need to be the family of God in our parishes.
So, Pat, given that lofty expectation, somebody who's kind of planning One Faith, One Family, how do you take that idea and put it into a format of something that's going to be able to be executed downstream from your lofty visionary ideas?
My very question.
Yeah, so good.
And fortunately, we have a wonderful group of people who help plan all the conferences, because mm-hmm. we have a men's conference and a women's conference in the off years from the One Faith, One Family. And, you know, it's hard to plan an event like this in the midst of a pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to sign a contract with someplace like the Civic Center mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, or even 8 months ago. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. And mm-hmm. and do we book a speaker to come in town? I mean, just a lot of angst about how are we going to pull that off? And I don't know, it just hit somebody in the group that what if we had them gather in their own parishes, that what we would do, and we kind of did this at the women's conference, we had a virtual dimension to it. Mm-hmm. What if we streamed the conference from a parish and then let each parish gather in their own place. Because that way you can gather more people. Obviously, if you're meeting in 56 locations instead of one, you can fit more people if in the case of, you know, the pandemic being being hot.
Right. We're listening to the Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas Rohde, Pat Ahrensberg. I'm Ellen Taylor, and we are discussing today One Faith, One Family Conference, which we've got the idea, what it is. We got the theme, what we're going to discuss, and we're kind of working through the format now. So I think that that actually is a good idea in this year of 2021 of the uncertainty. And also, it kind of ties really into your theme of parish life. If we're gathering together in our parishes and taking advantage of some of the oneness of us as an archdiocese, but then in each of our locales, according to our the needs of our geographic area or group or our parish. So that's got to be a little bit harder to plan, I think, than just, you know, booking the Civic Center sometimes.
You know, it's almost easier.
Okay.
I mean, there are certain details we don't have to, we're not in charge of tickets.
Right, yes.
We're not selling tickets. We're, you register through your parish. We, you know, we're bringing the speakers. There's a more technical side that we have to worry about.
Right.
But, you know, you talked about, you know, Archbishop, I don't know where we're going to go after this year. Because when we decided, okay, let's stream it to the parishes. So we have all the talks are going to be streamed to the parishes live. So that's our original plan. We're going to stream it on that day. Well, then, and it was going to be April 24th and still is in most parishes. We're going to stream starting at 1 o'clock.
So it's a one-day event.
It's a one-day event.
April 24th.
At least that's the one way of approaching it.
So in its origin, but I'll say before I give any more details, this is an instrument and a tool for the pastors to use. I know pastors who are not going to do it all on the same day, that they're going to do one third of it essentially on three consecutive Sundays because that works better for their people. Great. So as I'm going around talking
to... So it's going to be live.
It's going to be
one
live.
Day.
Yes.
But some parishes may decide to use it live on one day, but other parishes may decide it'd be better to use, to divide it up this, because it's going to be recorded.
Yes.
And to use it on three different days or a lot of different approaches they may have.
Lots of different approaches. Some are going to do it all in one day as envisioned, but not on April 24th because their parish, their people are particularly nervous about the virus, and the pastor doesn't think they're going to turn out in numbers, so he wants to do it on a different date. That's fine. So what we've done is we've recorded the talk by Mr. Damon Owens, who's a fantastic dynamic speaker, and he's going to be talking about what happens when we receive Christ in the Eucharist. We've recorded his talk, and he's going to give it live. And this has worked out great for Hispanic ministry. I've been working with Deacon Hector Donestorg, and we've given him the talks by Damon Owens, the talk that we've recorded with you, Archbishop. And then the third element is going to be an episode of the Mass that the Archdiocese produced. And they are getting it subtitled in Spanish.
Oh, that's good.
So that we can send that out to all the parishes. So all the parishes... as of next week from the recording of this. So when you hear this on the radio, they'll be available. The pastors can download the videos, because the other concern we heard, Archbishop, is, you know, I'm in a very rural parish.
Streaming ability.
Yeah, I'm in a very rural parish, and I'm a little nervous about my Wi-Fi that it's going to not do real well. And so those pastors asked, could we get them the file in advance so they can download it and have it on their computer. So we have them recorded, but we're also going to be live, because I think there's something very neat about the whole family being together at the same time, even though we're not physically present. You know, during the pandemic, we all Zoomed with our families. And this is kind of an opportunity to do that, where we can all be doing it at the same time. So in an ideal situation, at 1 o'clock, streamed live from St. Bede in Montgomery, will be the One Faith, One Family. There will be an opening prayer, introduction, and then Mr. Damon Owens will give a 45-minute talk on the Eucharist and coming into communion with Christ and what happens when we receive Christ in the Eucharist. That'll be streamed from St. Bede. At the end of that talk, the stream stops, and each parish has about 50 minutes to do something as a parish. They might choose to do a Eucharistic procession. They might choose to do adoration, whatever the pastor would like to choose. And we've sent out resources to the pastors to pull off either of those things if they need help. After that time, then we will stream the second talk from St. Bede. And that will be you, Archbishop. And again, that is pre-recorded, but it's also going to be live streamed, right. Given live from St. Bede. At the end of that talk, the parishes can do something to build up their parish. For a larger parish, that might be a parish ministry fair with tables set up, and you can go around and get people's contact information if they'd like to be involved in, you know, ministry to the grieving, to make communion calls, to youth ministry, whatever ministry that you need help with, you can sign up to become involved. Talking to a pastor where he thinks there'll be about 12 people that will come that day. It's a small parish. Mm-hmm. Well, a ministry fair doesn't make sense for that pastor. So we talked about, we can get them together and figure out, how do you go from 12 to 24? What do we do to bring this core group and become evangelical so that more than 12 would come to something like this from the Archdiocese? Then the third element is a 15-minute episode of the Mass. Why do we have to worship at all? Why do I have to go to my parish to go to Mass and worship God in the first place? It's something that we produced with 4 p.m. Media 9 years ago.
Time flies.
Right.
Flies. I forget.
It's still pertinent, though.
But it is, well, the topic is timeless.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, and I think it is very well done, and people haven't seen the video. I think they'll be pleased with it. It's a four-part video, but one of those parts, a 15-minute segment, is going to be shown.
Correct.
Okay.
And that first segment, so why do we have to worship at all? After that is shown, then they will have the opportunity to have small group discussions about that video. And the hope is, and again, this has all been sent to all the pastors, how to pull this off. How do we encourage them to form small groups? So maybe this table of six people, the facilitator's guide went out to discuss the content in the first video, but they can sign up to be part of a group to watch episodes 2, 3, and 4. And that might happen over breakfast. So Ellen Taylor is mm-hmm. going to host them 8 o'clock once a month for the next 3 months at her house, and breakfast will be served. And
don't come on Saturday
And Joe
mornings.
Smith he and his wife are going to do a thing at 4 o'clock, and you sign up for which group you want to be a part of. But the hope is that the folks who come to the One Faith, One Family will then get plugged into one of those small groups to further their study. So that's the hope. As I look at this layout, you all, I got to tell you that I miss bringing everybody together at the Civic Center.
Well, there's a certain
vibrancy.
I like
having 1,000. There's a vibrancy mm-hmm. there. But at the same time, you know, so 6 or 8 people come from St. Bede and they drive down. Mm-hmm. Which is going to have greater impact on the parish? Doing it that way or doing it the way we're doing it this year? We'll have conversations after the event to see how do we want to move forward with this event.
You can see the benefits of each way of coming together. I think what we're doing for 2021 is really the reality of what's going on in the world this year, and the realization that we as Catholics still need to reinvigorate our faith, and especially those around us that maybe have felt weary this year. Like, it's become one more burden or thing to do. So how do you reinvigorate them? And the source and summit of our faith is the Eucharist. So we start there, first of all. And that I like your idea of getting people, the core people, and letting them spread the word out within their parishes and finding the best way that their parish can operate based on the circumstances geographically or what's going on health-wise. So many elements that are able to be personalized from the parish level. So If somebody's listening to this, Pat, how do they get involved? Maybe this is the first they're hearing about it.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio.
That's a good way to get the information. AM,
94.5 FM, and it's a great way to get the information. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the One Faith, One Family. And I would say my suggestion is to go speak to your pastor and offer to help and say, you know, I heard about this on Archangel Radio, and I know it might be a lot of work, and I just want you to know I think it would be wonderful for our parish, and if you'd like, I would be happy to help with this. I will tell you that the planning committee has put together all sorts of resources for parishes to plug into to help. If you're going to have a whole bunch of you know, young kids, to have a kind of a catechesis, to have those materials, they're all ready to go. All you have to do is run them off. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are there. Here's how you would do a Eucharistic procession if you'd like to do a Eucharistic procession. Here's how, if you wanted to build a canopy, like Father Bill did here at the cathedral, to carry, whatever, all the kind of things that we could think of. And you think of other things? A pastor wants to do something different from the suggestions that we make? Have at it. This is a resource to help them build their parishes.
No, I think the way this is being approached, Pat, being live, but also online, this pandemic has caused us as a church to look at various ways that we can use electronic media to evangelize, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to have religious education, to have parish activities. And we're still in a learning mode. It's different for us. And I think what you're doing is exciting, that we're going to have it pre-recorded for parishes that want to have multiple events rather than one day. We're going to have it live for those who prefer to be part of a live event. So many other different options. We're in a learning mode about how to use electronic media. And this is, to me, a major step for our archdiocese to have our archdiocesan conference presented electronically as well as in person. So I just applaud you for that. And we'll see doing it once where it will lead. I'm excited about it. But I'm also excited because to talk about the belief in the Eucharist and to talk about our call to be part of the family of God in our parish, I hope it will touch many hearts. You know, with the suspension of public masses for 6 weeks in our archdiocese and then slowly reopening, I've been asked by a number of people, do I hope that attendance at Mass in our archdiocese will one day reach what it was before the pandemic? And I tell people, honestly, no, I don't. I hope attendance, when this is all over, will be greater than it was before the pandemic. And I think with the help of God, with the working of the Holy Spirit, that will happen in our archdiocese as we realize the Eucharist, what a blessing it is. It truly is Jesus Christ, and we're called truly to be part of his family, the parish. I am hoping that more and more people will return to church.
I hope so. And I think my read is that the pastors are pretty excited about this. I think they see it as something that they can, that it's a resource that they can, it's not a one size fits all. It is absolutely morphable.
Ooh, that's a new word.
Yeah, I made it up.
Right now,
I kind of like it.
But it's absolutely, it can be, it's flexible enough to fit the needs of any parish.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were cognizant of as we were planning was everybody has a different time for the vigil. So my fear was, we don't want this to go so late that it runs into somebody's 4 o'clock vigil, but you also don't want people being dismissed from this thing at 3:30 and then the vigil is at 5 and you've kind of got that hour and a half dead time. So we've kind of shown in the stuff we've sent to the pastors that you could take that third element, the one on the Mass, mm-hmm. and move it to the beginning of the day at like 11:30.
Oh, yeah.
So you can finish earlier if you've got an early vigil.
Look at
if you
being
have a
so
later
flexible.
Vigil, you could just play it the way it is. And so,
yeah.
Again, it was meant to just, we want every parish to somehow grow in their love for the Eucharistic Lord, that somehow that they come together as a family around the table and celebrate each other, that there's something that there's something very healthy. You know, I remember a friend of mine was a roommate when I was first teaching up in Montgomery, and he was a falling away Catholic because he went to a Baptist church once and they called him every week when he wasn't there, not harassing him, mm-hmm. but just saying, we missed you.
Inviting him.
I saw him at an event in Montgomery, Archbishop. I pointed him out to you. Mm-hmm. He's Baptist now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something when we don't come together as a parish and see these folks in this parish at this time, these are my people, and I need to be here. I'm part of this family. I think we miss something. And so that's the other element that we're hoping comes out of having the event in the parish, is that people would become more attached to their parish family.
We've been speaking with Pat Ahrensberg and Archbishop Rohde about One Faith, One Family, which is set for Saturday, April 24th, 1 p.m. However, your parish may or may not be at that exact time. We talked about the various ways some parishes are using the materials. I would encourage listeners that if they are hearing this, that they contact their parish and find out how their particular parish is participating in it so you can get involved. All of these things that Pat, your office does, and all of us do as Catholics, is to invite people to participate in the faith, let them know it's essential, and it's just not a box you check off. It's the living, breathing essence of who we are, and we have these kind of events so we can participate and become stronger in our faith and strengthen up our families.
Pat, I just want to thank you and your office for taking this on. This promises truly to be a grace-filled and an enjoyable event, so thank you. I know a lot of work went into a lot of planning, and thank you. And I'd urge everyone, please, participate in your parish in this One Faith, One Family conference. And so let us ask God's blessing to be upon you and your loved ones in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.